Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. A 19-member commission of regional civic leaders representing a multitude of public and private offices has issued a preliminary report regarding potential changes in the governmental structure of the Syracuse metropolitan area. You've probably at least heard of the report by now. It's called Consensus. Today, I'm joined by one of the commission's co-chairs, Jim Walsh, and a member of the commission's staff, Rob Simpson. Jim Walsh represented what is now the 24th Congressional District from 1989 to 2009. He's currently Government Affairs Counselor at K&L Gates in Washington, D.C. He's joining us from NPR Studios in Washington. Rob Simpson is president of Center State CEO, and he's also the co-chair of the Central New York Regional Development Council, and he's here in Syracuse with me. I want to note that this will be a two-part conversation beginning today and continuing next week. The issue is that important for the area, and it's that complicated. Today's focus will be more on the process of the report, and next week we'll delve more deeply into some of the content and the reactions to it so far. Jim, Rob, thanks for coming on to talk with me.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to do it.
Rob, let me start with you. Just give me, if you can, a brief thumbnail sketch of the history and the problems with governmental structure that brought us to this point.
Well, I think the reality is when we began this work around the Consensus Commission more than 2 years ago, there was a recognition that we have been trying to have in one form or another conversation around modernizing local government for many, many years. The first efforts probably date back more than 30 or 40 years and maybe even some before that. What we know for a fact is since 1970, our community, our county, our population hasn't grown at all. Our economy, we actually have 5,000 less people employed today in Onondaga County than we had back in 1970. Over 45 years, our community has essentially stood still from a population and economic development standpoint when other parts of the country and other parts of the world have passed us by. The whole premise around Consensus was that we can and absolutely must do better in building our community and growing our economy and looking at our structures of local government, which are in some cases more than 200 years old, is one of many strategies that we needed to deploy to be competitive in the 21st century.
And Jim, was this commission and this particular report, was it somebody's particular idea that they pushed, or a particular group, or was it something more generalized? How did that get going?
Well, I think this conversation goes back a long way. The Thursday Morning Roundtable has had studies on this. The university, I think Maxwell graduate students have studied this approach, modernizing government, making it more rational. At 2020, a number of groups historically have looked at ways to do this. And in fact, you know, the government of the county was changed in the 1960s from a supervisory board of supervisors to a county executive form of government. The city government went from a strong mayor form of government to a weaker mayor form of government. So it is rational that it continued to evolve. And I think the idea here is to find a governmental structure that works better than the one that was designed 200 years ago and has been since amended. And I think most people would agree that we can do things better. We can be better at this.
And how was the commission picked? Who chose who these members were going to be?
You know, I think when this process first came forward, when the idea of taking another look at this issue came up, we had a lot of conversation. Syracuse 2020 is a community civic organization, Center State CEO, the League of Women Voters, Focus, Greater Syracuse, a number of partners. And we collectively decided that we wanted to involve our elected leaders in helping to identify effectively develop a baseline analysis so that we could compare apples to apples what towns and villages, city, county were doing. We approached the mayor and the county executive who endorsed the commission process, an independent commission. We then approached the city council and the county legislature. The county legislature authorized the creation of a commission by a vote of 17-0, the city council by a vote of 8-1. And we were fortunate to have support from Senator DeFrancisco and Senator Valesky at the state level, providing some resources for us to develop the initial baseline analysis. the town and village, the town supervisors, village mayors, each had an appointment to the commission. The county executive had an appointment. The mayor, city council, county ledge, organized labor. So the goal was to build a broad and diverse coalition of business leaders, neighborhood leaders, civic leaders who would put their time and energy into thinking about how we might restructure our government for the 21st century.
And, Jim, how did the commission then go about writing its preliminary report? What was the process, start to finish?
Well, we initially we met and talked about general, sort of a general plan to proceed. We divided the labor up into committees. We had a number of different committees: public works, governance, public safety, economic development, and I'm leaving a couple others out. And then we selected members to be on those committees, and then they invited expert witnesses to come in and talk with them about how towns, villages, city, county government operate now, how city services, how all services are provided. We additionally hired a, thanks to the support of the state, our state senators, we were able to hire a terrific consultant from Rochester, New York. We've been doing this for over 100 years. They helped us to provide the analytics. And then they went out and they interviewed people. They interviewed mayors of towns and villages and supervisors and zoning enforcement officers and dog control officers and the Metropolitan Waste Treatment Plant management and, you know, basically looked at every aspect. And as Rob said, it's been a year and a half or 2 years in the making. And then the committees handed up recommendations to the plenary, to the commission, to the overall commission. And the commission has not voted on those yet. The idea was that the committees would report, we would review the report, and then we would put it before the people for public comment, and that's where we are now.
It sounds a little bit like, for a process that I'm familiar with, having served on this organization in the past, the Onondaga Citizens League, kind of the way they do their annual reports.
Yeah, and the Citizens League were also proponents of this historically.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Commission on Local Government Modernization co-chair Jim Walsh and Commission staff member Rob Simpson, and we're discussing the Commission's consensus report. Rob, this is going to be tough for you to try to do in a brief amount of time here, but can you give me the gist of the recommendations of the preliminary report?
Yeah, I think the gist is this. We talked about it previously, the sort of macroeconomic conditions. Our community's been standing still while the rest of the world is passing us by. Every single layer of government, there are 36 general-purpose municipalities in Onondaga County. I think 212 independently elected officials. There are 189 members of planning boards throughout Onondaga County, 169 members of zoning boards of appeals. Altogether, more elected and appointed representatives in those 36 general purpose municipalities than the U.S. Congress combined in a community the size of 450,000 people. What we found as we analyzed and did our baseline analysis was that every layer of government, our villages through the towns, city, county, have done some incredibly innovative things over the last 30 or 40 years. We also found that every layer of government can do better. What we presented via the committee report and the draft options report just a couple of weeks ago represent 51 individual recommendations that represent everything from the potential for intermunicipal collaboration, village to village, town to town, all the way up through potential restructuring of local government, including the possibility of creation of a metropolitan government here in the region. Some of those actions are things that, frankly, our town supervisors, our village mayors, our city and county can do on their own. We've seen over the course of the last many years several actions taken, the merging of purchasing department between city and county and the school district, the co-location of economic development. Some of these are already underway. We can do more. All the way up through and including some of the more substantive recommendations, which would require potential legislative action and ultimately referendum. Changing the structure of local government requires people to be deeply engaged in that work, and I think the public comment period you see now is reflective of that.
I want to come back to some of those things later today, but also next week. But it does seem, at least in terms of the media reports on this, that the heart of this set of recommendations is that big thing that you mentioned toward the end, this idea of some kind of large-scale merger. Is that the way the commission sees that, that that's really the heart of the recommendation of a city-county merger?
You know, Go ahead, Jim.
Just really quickly, we want to address the the issues that Rob outlined at the beginning. We have kids and grandkids. We want them to be able to stay here. If that, if we believe that that will get us there, then yes. But the body has not voted, and you know, we're getting positive and negative comment on this. So we're gonna listen.
Yeah, I think that if you look at the report and really read and digest not just the draft options report but the baseline analysis, the vast majority of the options recommendations are related to things that don't require a public referendum. They are opportunities to do emergency medical services better across the 17 municipal jurisdictions that that provide them. They are opportunities to share snowplows and DPW equipment, opportunities to share IT infrastructure among towns that are still doing permitting and licensing via paper, right? The primary focus of this report has been bringing to light some of the ways in which all of our local governments can do things better. And some of that means encouraging a sharing of best practices amongst them. But there is no question also that there are opportunities for us to rethink the structure of government and have a conversation around whether or not we truly are, in this day and age, 36 individual municipalities, or whether we are one community that should be working together for economic prosperity for all.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with former Congressman Jim Walsh and Center State CEO Rob Simpson. They're both associated with the Commission on Local Government Modernization. Jim is one of the co-chairs of that commission, and Rob is staff member for the commission. We're discussing the commission's report, which is called Consensus. Jim, I wanted to ask you a question about timing and the politics of timing in terms of some of the feedback that both of you have said a few brief things about already. Given the magnitude of this issue and the different moving parts in it, and also the importance of the likely effects on the community, I did have a concern about the time frame between the issuance of your initial report and this process of gathering the public input, which you're doing right now. You're having town hall meetings. We're doing conversations like this in the media. And then the timing of the final report. It all is happening with, if I understand it correctly, within less than 6 months. And as the two of you have made clear, this has been an issue that is very, very long time in the making. And so I'm wondering, what's the apparent rush here on this particular stage? Why not take longer with the period between the preliminary report and the final report?
Well, I begin by saying we have spent the last year and a half talking with people, talking with elected officials, talking with community groups, just generally about how we can better govern ourselves and how we can make it a more inclusive government and how we can grow our economy. We've been doing that for a year and a half. It continues now because the report is out, the recommendations are out, and people are commenting on it. We're sensitive to the argument that we need more time, and we will address that as a group. We're also, you know, we're also sensitive to that, to the idea that if you extend things for too long, you lose momentum. We could be accused of putting these recommendations on the shelf and never looking at them again. So there's a sweet spot in between providing enough time for public comment and also being talked to death. And so, and you know, we're also focused, if there is indeed a need for a public referendum, 2016 is a presidential election year, and the largest, as you know, the largest number of electors, people voting, come out in the presidential year. So we think we would get if we had a referendum, a much more reflective view, a view that reflected society, our society, better in that time frame. So, you know, there's nothing written in stone here, but we do want to proceed apace. But if more time is required, we're going to address that, I think.
You know, I would just offer, I think that it's important to remember that this isn't the first conversation about government modernization or even potentially consolidation that this community has had. Go back, as Jim said, to the OCL report. You can go back to various conversations even before that. At every point when these conversations have emerged, there have been decisions made, either conscious or unconscious, not to proceed with any level of transformative change, which is okay. That's the community's prerogative. At the same time, our economic circumstance has not gotten better, right? There is an imperative to action, being able to take steps to improve our condition. There's no question that the responsibility for where we are economically doesn't fall solely on the backs of our local government structure. That's a piece of it. You know how hard we work to try to build and invest in our economy. We're also very focused on making sure that we are challenging the state to be our partner in that economic growth via the relief of mandates and other things. At the same time, I think every one of our commission members holds a personal feeling of responsibility for making this community the very best it can be. And that means not just being willing to talk about hard issues, but being willing to try to encourage our community and lead our community to make what can be, and let's face it, what are in this circumstance, some very difficult decisions.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guests are Rob Simpson and Jim Walsh, and we're discussing the consensus report. Rob, I want to stick with you and push you a little bit on that point you were making. Some people at the public hearings have criticized the preliminary report for lacking details, including cost-benefit analyses for central services like police protection and so on. And the concern is that if this does come to some kind of referendum, which the two of you have been discussing, without that kind of information, it's impossible to make an informed decision in terms of a vote on a referendum. So will the final report have those kinds of details?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult situation anytime you engage in a hard dialogue like this. I think had the commission come out with a more detailed report, complete with fully baked cost analysis, it would have looked very much like the decision or the direction that the commission intended to go was fully predetermined. And I can tell you from sitting in those meetings and working with these commission members that we are still in fact-finding mode. The desire to put these preliminary options out for consideration was a really well-thought-out, strategic decision to collect input from what the public values, because I think the options going forward are multitudinous. I think we, with 51 recommendations, hearing from people what they care most about, the level of representation for certain communities, the quality of their service, the cost of that service, different people attribute different values to those. The feedback we're getting now is giving us a sense for what is valuable, not only via those public forums, but the thousands of comments we've seen on Syracuse.com coming into our website, consensuscomment.com. And we hope that the final report will be able to reflect some of those values and help frame a solution or series of solutions that is not just likely to lead us to better outcomes, but is reflective of the values the community is sharing. Will there be more detail? Absolutely. How much detail will there be? I think is something that the commission is wrestling with right now. One of the conversations we've had, quite frankly, is as this final recommendations are released, our elected leaders, the city council, the county ledge, the mayor, the county executive, our state delegation, towns and villages, they all have a responsibility to help implement any solutions that might be recommended. Without their buy-in and support, none of these recommendations are going to be implemented. And frankly, they are the elected leaders in our community that have been tasked with designing and leading our governments. And so they need to be equally involved in the implementation side of this discussion.
And Jim, just a basic logistical question on next steps then. My presumption is if it's going to be put Some of the recommendations will be put to the public in terms of a referendum. Some elected official has to pick that up then. Some elected group has to put that forward, correct?
Yeah, if there is indeed a requirement for a referendum, there are several ways to get at it. One is a petition process, another is a county legislative proposal, and I'm not really absolutely certain on these things. We're still working through them. And the third would be a state authorization legislation, some sort of a home rule message that would allow for that.
And, Jim, do you know and can you tell us just briefly about other cities or regions surrounding cities that have done this in recent years? Where they've made some larger changes toward mergers and what their experiences have been?
Well, that's the good news. There are a number of cities, and we spoke with or met with officials from all of those places, Nashville, Louisville, Indianapolis, and others, and, you know, really got some insights. And one of the things that we found were the three things that we've looked hardest at accomplishing: better governance, improving the delivery of services. We're not talking about saving money here. That's not what this is all about. If we do, that's great. But saving money is not the key issue here. It's better governance. It's more inclusive governance. It's making sure that the disparate and underrepresented voices in our community are represented. They're at the table. And those other cities all had that same experience. The third is economic growth. In every one of these cities, once they've gone through a process of modernization, has experienced that. And I think the reason is because what this says about Central New York, what this says about Onondaga County and Syracuse, is that the people who live there are thoughtful, they're looking ahead, they're taking control as best they can of their own destiny, and they're trying to make a difference. And that alone, I think, sends a signal to the existing businesses and potentially new investors in the community that these people are thoughtful about where they're headed and they want to make it a better place. And so I think there's some lessons there for us.
And Jim, let me stick with you, and we've only got about another minute here, but I wanted to follow up on that. Did these cities in making this transition have any big challenges that they had in common? I'm thinking particularly politically challenges. There are people here that are very attached to their local towns and villages. Did they run into this, and how did they deal with that? If you could just address that in a few seconds here.
Well, the best answer is they all did it in a different way. Every city, every community has its own personality, its own issues. And there will be proponents and opponents of everything that's suggested. So we just have – that's why this public input period is so important. We really want to hear from people. We can identify opposition. We can identify support that way, and then we can go on from there. But it's organic. Every city is different.
That was Jim Walsh and Rob Simpson. The report, again, is called Consensus, and you can find it at consensuscny.com. We will continue our discussion of this report next week. Jim, Rob, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having us, Grant.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.